It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. We started last week. This is Gabe DeArmond. Brian Austin's with me. We started last week kind of touring some of the Mizzou signees before they hit campus and before they're closed off from talking to terrible people like ourselves in the media. So we wanted to get one last chance to talk to some of these guys, and we're going to expand it. Got some football guys coming up, but we're going to start with Missouri basketball and Blue Springs South forward Kevin Purrier on the phone. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. And first of all, what have the last few weeks been like for you? I mean, you win a state title, and now you're graduating from high school. A little bit hectic the last couple months?
Oh, yeah, it's been real hectic. You know, I just actually got the last of my college stuff, and I'm getting my grad party prepared for. And, yeah, it's just been a real hectic time, but it's starting to wind down. You know, I head out in a couple weeks to be in Columbia, so I'm really excited about that.
Hey, Kevin, take us back to that state title run. I mean, you go into this season, you guys knew you had a good team. We're expecting to make a deep run, but just winning the state title, what did that mean for you to finish your career off like that?
It was, you know, I would call it a dream season, because I feel like every goal that I wrote down before the season actually happened this year. So, yeah, it was definitely a dream come true. I worked really hard for that my whole high school career, and to finally get it in that fashion at Mizzou Arena was something I really can't describe.
Kevin, we'll go back a little further now to your recruitment, and, you know, take us through the process. I mean, when Missouri offered, is that one you'd been waiting for, you kind of knew, or it just take us through kind of your thought process during recruiting?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when Mizzou offered me, it was like, it was a no-brainer. You know, growing up in Missouri and looking up to, you know, Missouri players like, you know, Damari Carroll and Kim English and Phil Pressey and Mike Dixon, Steve Moore, all those good guys. You know, my first experience at a Mizzou game, you know, it was a sold-out crowd against Baylor, and I remember telling my mom after that game that, you know, I wanted to go to this school, and nothing changed ever since.
Kevin, I mean, how much have you been able to talk with the guys that are coming in with you? It's a big class, two JUCO guys, and Martavian Payne and Russell Woods, and you got Terrence Phillips, Colin Van Leer, and the newest K.J. Walton coming in with you. Have you been able to communicate with those guys much?
I haven't, you know, K.J., you know, he's the newest member. I haven't really gotten to communicate with him that much, but, you know, me and Colin text, and me and Terrence text, and I've met Martavian, and I've met Russell. So I think they're all really good guys, and I'm looking forward to, you know, taking the court with them.
What's your communication with the coaches been since you signed, and what do they have you kind of working on before you hit campus, maybe?
Well, they haven't really, you know, given me, you know, what they want me to work on, you know, quite yet. But I've just been, you know, getting stronger and working on my skills, and you know, just trying to prepare myself for the college level.
Now, I heard some whispers that maybe from the first time you played pickup with the Mizzou team, I think when you came in for your official visit to this last time when you were in, when Martavian Russell visited, you looked a little different, I heard. I mean, is that just comfort level, or do you feel like you worked on some things over that period?
I've been really working on my outside shooting, and I think in that scrimmage this past time, I had a really good day at the office. You know, I was going off the screens, you know, using my ball handling to the best of my abilities, just knocking down open shots, and that's what I've really been working on the most, is just my all-around perimeter game. So I want to be able to, you know, take guys inside and out.
Talking with Mizzou Hoops signee Kevin Purrier, and Kevin, obviously you watched it as closely as a lot of people around the state did. Tough season for Mizzou. Just it kind of watching that from a distance and now coming in to be a part of it, you know, how hard was it to watch last year, and what's kind of your mindset coming in trying to turn it around pretty quickly?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what my mindset is, you know, just to turn it around. Of course, it was hard for everybody to, you know, watch that. But when people ask me this question, I just look at it, you know, from optimistic standpoint. It's only going to get better, and it's a process, and I'm looking forward to, you know, being part of the process and getting better each and every day.
You're pegged to play power forward. Like you said, you want to be able to take people inside and outside. Your front line mates look like it's going to be Russell Woods, Ryan Rosberg, D'Angelo Allen. Maybe not a ton of size, but what do you think you guys are going to be able to do to make an impact next season?
I think just, you know, physically, I think we'll be able to give people problems. And, you know, D.A., he's one of the most, you know, intense defenders on the team. And honestly, I think that the heart of the team will be, you know, more important than the size, because clearly we're not the biggest team, but I think we'll be the toughest.
Kevin, I don't want to ask you necessarily to talk for anybody else here, but, you know, guys like you and Colin has said, hey, I grew up in Missouri. I wanted to play for the home state school. You go back over the last 10, 12 years, that certainly has not always been the case around the state. I mean, you play AAU ball. You've met a lot of these other guys through high school or AAU, you know, and you can list off the number of people from Missouri that have gone elsewhere. What do you think, you know, just the feeling about Missouri basketball is now or has been the last few years among kind of that elite level of player in the state?
Well, I think, you know, I think in the past we kind of got away from, you know, recruiting in-state talent. But now that, you know, Coach A is putting a big emphasis on it, I think, you know, within the next few years, you know, I mean, he started with me and Cohen and, of course, Martavian, you know, he's from St. Louis. And I think he started very well, you know, with this class, and I think it's only going to get better from now on. But I'm just like everybody else. You know, I firmly believe that if you're one of the best players in the state, you should be going to Missouri.
How much do you follow recruiting going forward? Do you pay attention at all to, like, who Mizzou's trying to sign in the 2016-17 classes? Do you talk to any of those guys?
Not really, no. The only one that I've really had an encounter with is Tyler Cook. You know, I talked to him a couple times. But other than that, not really.
Have you had a chance to really meet or talk to Corey Tate? Obviously, they hired him, I guess, officially just a couple weeks ago, but wasn't a member of the staff when you signed, but is now.
Right. No, I haven't talked to him either, but I've heard nothing but good things about him.
When are you planning to get on campus, and do you know who you're going to be rooming with yet?
Yeah, I'm rooming with Cohen, and I move in on June 6th, and workouts, I believe, start on the 8th.
Kevin, what are your goals for your freshman year, whether it's playing time, stats, whatever you've kind of set for yourself? What do you think is realistic for you your first year on campus?
I think, you know, just to grow as a person and as a player, and most importantly, just contribute and to make the team better in some way, shape, or form, whether that be scoring, rebounding, and those type of areas. So just to get better, get stronger, you know, stuff like that.
One of your AAU teammates and close friend, Jimmy Witt, about to be a in-conference rival of yours. How much do you keep in touch with him? And are you kind of looking forward to maybe going up against him and hopefully getting some bragging rights?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, me and Jimmy, we used to compete against each other all the time before the Run GMC days. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to competing against him for over the course of the years. You know, he's like a brother to me. He'll come up to my neck. He'll come to my house to spend the weekend with me quite often. So, yeah, he's really close to me, and I love the guy. He's a really great guy, and I'm looking forward to playing against him.
I want to wrap it up here with Kevin Puryear from Blue Springs South coming to Mizzou next year. And Kevin, have you given any thought to, I mean, growing up a Missouri fan, that first, you know, whether it's the exhibition game or the first regular season game, what it'll kind of be like running out of the tunnel? And I'm sure that you will have plenty of family coming to games this year.
Oh, yeah, my family, they're going to be, you know, front and center at every home game. That's just the type of people there are, you know. If I was playing in Alaska or something, they'd be there. To see, like I said, to see, you know, players before me, like the great players that I named, like Kim and Phil and Steve and Damari, you know, Ricardo Ratliff, all those guys to, you know, step on the same floor and run out the tunnel, the same tunnel that they ran out of. You know, it's a dream come true, and I can't wait for the day to come.
All right, Kevin. Well, we're looking forward to it. Hope you get down here, have a good time this summer, and we'll definitely catch up with you down the road.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys, for calling.
All right, thanks a lot. Kevin Puryear, Mizzou basketball signee for the class of, what is that, Brian? Still 2015, 2016, whatever class he's coming in?
2015, yeah. He's one of the six in 2015.
and it is a class that, you know, I mean, I'm really interested to see. I think a lot of fans, a lot of people around the country have one impression of this class, and you kind of hear Kevin Puryear talk, and I think they'll come in here, not saying they'll do it, but certainly with a hope to prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, and it seems similar to some classes that Missouri's had over the years that have done well for them, guys that they can bring in and develop and are going to stick around, and that's what worked with the team back with Melvin Booker and all those guys way back in the day in the undefeated season. I mean, you can't compare them to that yet, but and then that's the same thing that happened with the Kim English class. Guys that are solid players, good players, came in, stayed through everything, developed, and then by the time they're juniors and seniors, you have some really good teams.
All right, well, that's a look at the basketball side. We're going to jump over to football now and talk to a couple of future Tigers. Happy to welcome in now Mizzou signee in football, punter, kicker, Corey Fatone from Tennessee. Corey, first of all, thanks for joining us. How you doing today?
Good. I'm doing good. How about you?
Not too bad. Want to ask you, first of all, you got, what, 2 weeks left here at home. You got to pack a lot of stuff into the last couple weeks before you take off?
Yeah, we're trying to do some family stuff. Trying to get some time in with my little sister before I leave.
I know some of the other guys have said somewhere between like June 4th and June 8th they're coming up to Columbia. When do you plan to get here?
Right, I plan to leave June 5th. Move in by June 8th.
All right, Cordy, do you know who's going to be your roommate when you get to Mizzou yet?
Yeah, we're planning on Emmanuel Hall.
All right, we're talking to Emmanuel here in just a few minutes. Cool. Right now, talking to Corey, though. And, Corey, want to ask you, kicker, punter is kind of a different position, obviously, when it comes to recruiting. A pretty small handful of those guys tend to get, like, Power 5 offers. When did you start to think, hey, I have a chance to get a scholarship and be a scholarship player in college?
That was around my junior year when I started to go to camps and started to figure out what worked for me, like punting wise. When I went to the camps, I did, you know, rather well and got ranked pretty highly. And then a few of the coaches, they said that, that I could do it if I wanted to. And it was definitely something that I wanted to do. So,
Corey, I mean, when you're getting recruited, Missouri was looking at you more as the punter. Is that still how you feel things are going to shake out, talking with the coaches since you signed?
Yeah, they expect me to punt.
Do you think, I mean, obviously Mizzou lost its punter from last year. Is it a goal of yours to come in and start freshman year? Do you think that's possible, likely, or kind of what are your goals in that regard?
That is one of my goals. It's obviously going to be a lot of hard work, but that's definitely my goal.
Going from high school to coming to the D1 level, what do you think is going to be the biggest adjustment for you working at punter? I mean, the snap's going to be harder, a little faster, D-line coming at you. What are you looking at that's going to be the biggest adjustment?
Probably the biggest adjustment is just going to be like the level of football, I guess. Like it's a little bit, and not a little bit, it's a lot more pressure. Being able to deal and cope with the pressure is probably going to be the biggest thing.
That's an interesting thing for a kicker or a punter. I mean, this is it's a little bit like offensive line. Basically, most of the time, people don't notice you unless you've maybe had a bad day. You know, just take us through the mentality of having to kind of being out there on an island and what kind of pressure there is when, you know, say you're either lining up for a kick, a huge kick, or you know, you're going to punt, and if you do your job, everybody just says, well, yeah, he did his job.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really either people love you or they hate you. I mean, the mentality is you got to go in there and you got to do your job and you got to know you're going to do your job. There's got to be zero room for doubt in your head. I mean, mentality is probably the biggest thing in a kicker. And punter's mind, really.
Have you thought about that first time you step out onto Faurot Field and you catch the ball with the fans looking at you and you got to take that punt? I mean, have you kind of started to envision what that's going to be like for you?
Yes, I have, and I won't really know what it's like until I'm in there and doing it.
Now, obviously, punting is going to be your focus. Do you think down the road, I mean, there's a possibility of working in as a place kicker, or have the coaches kind of told you, hey, we want you to focus on punting and that's it?
They told me that I really need to be working on punting because that's ultimately what the scholarship is for.
All right. You mentioned Emmanuel is going to be your teammate. He's from same part of Tennessee. Missouri's kind of turned up their recruiting efforts in Tennessee the last few years. I mean, what's it like when you tell your friends, your schoolmates, everybody you're going to Mizzou, they think of that a pretty big deal? Or what's the impression of Missouri and Tennessee right now?
It's a pretty good one, I guess. It's they're doing a lot of recruiting down in Tennessee now, which is good because I mean some of my friends, some of my teammates might possibly join me in a few years.
All right, Corey, appreciate you joining us, man. Just want to kind of wrap up here and what's the summer going to be like for you? I mean, as far as back and forth between Columbia and home, and what do you expect when you're up here for workouts and things like that? Do you really have an idea yet?
I'm really trying to go into freshman year with not that many expectations, just rather goals, like, getting stronger, getting faster, getting my academics up, trying to find the friends, who are going to be a good influence on me throughout my career. And about coming home and back and forth between Columbia, I really don't know how that's going to play out yet.
All right. Well, Corey, appreciate your time, man. And we'll look forward to seeing you up here this fall then.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. That is Corey Fatone, Missouri's punter signee out of Tennessee. And, not often that Missouri has gone the scholarship route for a kicker or punter. Usually they've had those kids come onto campus and kind of make them earn a scholarship, although we've seen a change a little bit in the last couple of years. And I think that's a nod to playing in the SEC, which Gary Pinkel has said a number of times. You know, it's a field position league, and your kicker and your punter are going to win or lose you some games. And we've certainly seen that happen. Christian Brinzer turned into a pretty good weapon for Missouri the last couple of years. And really, I think we expect Fatone to be the starting punter. Not that maybe guys on campus right now couldn't challenge him for that job, but when you give a kicker a scholarship, you expect him to win the job.
I know Andrew Baggett did a lot of punting over the spring, which would be hard to imagine. They'll run him out there for every kick all season long. They also brought in a junior college punter that's going to be a walk-on that I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. So there is going to be a little bit of competition for Corey, but it definitely sounds like the plan is for him to come in and take control of that starting job from day one.
All right, now going to talk to Emmanuel Hall, another Tennessee signee here at Mizzou. Emmanuel, we just got a phone with Corey Fatone, and he said you guys are planning a room together, so already making plans and staying in pretty close touch as you guys get ready to come up to Columbia.
For sure, yeah. I've actually talked to him a couple of times. He's a pretty cool guy. I'm really excited to get up there and get some work in. And, I will be living with Corey, so I'm really excited about that.
He said he's going to be getting here around June 8th, I think. Is that about the time you're going to be getting in?
I'm actually going to be up there June 5th, so I'll be up there around, 3 days before he comes up.
All right, Emmanuel, now one thing I wanted to ask you, I remember back when you first, when Missouri first started showing interest in you, we the picture we had on you of Rivals, I think, was from your freshman year, and a lot of people said, "Man, that dude, he looks little." And now every person I've talked to in the last couple months have said, "Man, you don't even recognize Emmanuel Hall. He has gotten he's a big kid who looks like he's physically ready to play college football." So, the last couple years, big transformation, huh?
Yeah. My junior year, I was about 170, and, I have a trainer named Aaron Hines, works at Empower. We set a goal for my senior year to be almost at 200 pounds, so I put on about 20 pounds between junior and senior year, and I think it really paid off, definitely on the field. Physically, I'm stronger than most, and I think it's really paid off, and I think it's going to really help coming in from Missouri to be already college size. So that was kind of my goal from junior year to be college size by my senior year.
Coming in freshman season, what are the expectations for you? Missouri doesn't have a lot of seniors at wide receiver, just one. Nate Brown is a guy they expected a lot from. He hurt his knee a little bit during the spring, but expected to be back, but a little bit behind. Everybody else, it seems like they're just kind of coming in and learning and everything like that. What do you expect from yourself coming in your freshman season at Mizzou?
Well, I definitely want to, you know, contribute to the team. I think I have a lot to offer, but I definitely want to learn from the guys that have been there. I think that they can teach me a lot, and I'm definitely going to be watching them closely and, you know, trying to progress every single day I'm down there. That's the goal, and, you know, I think I can learn a lot from the coaches. You know, Coach Washington's great coach, is coach all over the place, and I think that he can bring me pretty far. So I'm excited to get down there, excited to learn from the team, and I think it can really contribute early to the team, so I'm really excited about it.
What if the coaches, whether it's Coach Washington or maybe Coach Henson, the offensive coordinator, kind of communicated to you that, you know, that they hope for you coming in over the summer and your first year on campus? I mean, again, with kind of the lack of experience, have they kind of communicated to you, hey, man, we need some guys who can come in and play right away?
Definitely. Coach Washington's told me several times. He said there's a lot of spots that are open. You know, there's a young wide receiver core down there. So he said that if I come in there, work hard, you know, you never know what can happen. There's a lot of opportunity. And that's why I'm making sure in this off season to, you know, keep my conditioning, you know, keep working out, keep running routes. So when I get down there, I can be precise, quick, and ready to go.
What do you envision is going to be the biggest adjustment for you when you get on campus and start going through fall camp and getting ready for the season?
Well, the biggest adjustment is definitely going to be, you know, just being on my own. Usually I'd have my parents, you know, they kind of be there to kind of, you know, motivate me. And, you know, from this point on, it's on me. And, you know, I think I can definitely take up that responsibility, and I'm really excited about it. And, you know, I think that my work ethic's going to be great, and, you know, get down there, get some work in. I think it's going to be a pretty good season, so I'm excited.
I want to ask you about one of the other guys you're going to be teammates with here in a couple of months, and another guy from Tennessee who we saw, Jonathan Johnson, ran like a sub-11 second 100 meters. Do you know Jonathan very well? Have you guys talked much?
Yeah. Actually, the freshmen have a group message going, and we talk all the time in there. But I do not know him personally, but I think I've seen a few videos of him running. He's a pretty quick guy, actually very fast guy.
True. When we talked to Drew last week, he mentioned that the group text and you guys talking a lot. And he also brought up, I think it was back, you guys official visited the same weekend. And he said, like Gabe mentioned, he said just how big you are and just how he was looking forward to down the road throwing to you and stuff. I mean, what's that bond been like with the group text and everything between all the freshmen coming in?
Well, I think it's been a really good bond. I think we're meshing well. We're actually a lot alike, in my opinion. You know, I think it's going to really help when we get down there. We're already going to have that chemistry because we've been talking a little bit. But it's going to be exciting, you know, to get to know them a little bit better and, you know, be able to, you know, work out together and, you know, practice together. So I'm really excited to get on there with Drew Locke, Maddie Mock, really earn their trust and get after it.
Talking with Mizzou football signee Emmanuel Hall for a couple more minutes. And, Emmanuel, I'm interested to know, you know, is there now kind of a, I guess, an expectation level among you guys that are coming into Missouri that's maybe different than it would have been a couple of years ago? I mean, an expectation to kind of continue keeping this program at the level it's been at with a couple straight SEC title games?
Well, definitely. Like I said before, you know, I think the coaches kind of expect a lot of the younger guys, the incoming freshmen, to play. And, you know, the past few years, Missouri has done great. We've been to the SEC championship twice, won two bowl games in the past 2 years. So I think it's definitely a little bit of pressure, but it's good pressure, and I'm really excited about it.
I know you run track and you jump in track. Has that been your focus since signing day, getting ready for the track season, or have you been working on some football stuff too?
Well, I've been doing both. I've been working a lot of football, a lot of track, definitely a lot of weight room. I've been doing a lot of squats, benching, all that, make sure I'm still strong. But I have been working on high jump. That's my main thing. And I actually compete tomorrow in the state track meet in high jump. So I'm really excited about that.
I wanted to ask you, we read that you had like a 6'9" high jump. What's right. It like standing down there as you approach the bar and looking up and seeing something almost 7 feet in the air, think, Yeah, I'm about to jump over that.
You know, it's really exciting. I think it's kind of funny, you know, because it's so much higher than me, and it actually doesn't bother me. You know, I've done high jump for, I think it's 10 years now, and, you know, I've just gotten used to it, and when I see challenges, I like to attack it, and, you know, it's fun to me, so it's definitely going to be exciting, and I'm excited for tomorrow.
Go back to, like, when you started being a high jumper, because I always wondered, events like that, and, like, really pole vault is the worst one, diving is kind of like this, but, like, when you start, yeah. I mean, how do you practice that without thinking, okay, something really bad could happen here?
Well, actually, high jump's not as dangerous as pole vault because, you know, pole vault, you can actually fall off the mat, but you can in high jump too, but in pole vault, it's a lot higher.
Right.
So I think high jump, it's nothing too scary. I mean, I have fallen off the mat a couple times, but it's pretty fun to me, and it's nothing too dangerous. So
I wanted to talk to you about your teammate, Tyrell Johnson, picked up an offer from Mizzou earlier this year. I mean, how much recruiting have you been doing on him? I know he said he's pretty interested in Missouri, the fact that you're going to be there. He's hearing from Texas A&M. He got an offer from them. I mean, how much recruiting have you done of Tyrell so far?
Well, I've definitely talked to him a lot. And actually, you know, Coach Washington, he's seen him quite a bit. And I'm pretty sure they've probably talked a lot. You know, I have talked to him about Missouri a lot. And I think that hopefully he chooses the right school because, you know, everybody has a different feel for a different school, but I'm really excited to see what he chooses and what fits him.
Last one for you, Emmanuel, and we'll let you go. We've been asking all the guys this. Have you thought yet kind of about whether it's the first time you run out of the tunnel or the first time you get on the field, whatever, kind of what emotions and the excitement you'll have, you know, when you're officially a college football player?
Right. Actually, I have. And, you know, it's going to be exciting. You know, thousands of fans, never been in that environment before. So exciting. It's going to give me a lot of adrenaline. I just can't wait. And, you know, it's something that you've worked for all your life. So it's definitely going to be excited. Hopefully that focuses me even more and I go out there and perform.
All right, man. I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. And we will see you down the road probably in fall camp.
For sure.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Emmanuel Hall, Mizzou signee, wide receiver from Tennessee. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, Brian, when we were talking to Corey, seems to be an area. I know Missouri made a big deal about recruiting Atlanta and recruiting Georgia, but I think Tennessee is the area that they've probably made the most inroads to since going to the SEC.
Yeah, the Nashville area a couple of years ago picked up Paul Adams, Thomas Richard, Finest Stribling. This year they got two more from the Nashville area and Emmanuel and Corey, and then as you mentioned, Johnson from down in Memphis, Tennessee. So I think that's the one that it seems going to be the next step for him. It is getting into Memphis a little bit more. They have targets down there. They have a cornerback, Dante Vaughn, running back for next year. It's just a process of building up and building those relationships. There's a Tyrell Dodson in Nashville again this year. So they'll continue to recruit Tennessee hard. It's not that bad of a drive for kids to come in and get to Mizzou campus so they can visit over the summer and stuff like that easily. So it's definitely something they're trying to take advantage of.
A lot of players in that area, certainly. Nashville, Memphis, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Missouri does there over the next few years. A little bit here. We've wrapped up the guests for the day. We were hoping maybe to be able to talk to JUCO defensive end Marcel Frazier. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. We'll give it a shot again next week. But obviously, Brian, in the last 24 hours, he became a little more important to Missouri because we got news late yesterday that Missouri has dismissed Marcus Loud, starting defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, he was already a guy that you kind of thought would come in and be in the mix for the rotation. I mean, definitely backing up Marcus and
Charles Harris.
Charles Harris, thank you very much. But, yeah, he's going to be a guy that might come in and start from day one. I know Walter Brady had a strong spring. Then you have Rixel McWilliams and Spencer Williams that are also there. So there's some depth, but it's a lot of young kids with not a lot of experience right now. So they just got to figure out what's the best rotation and how to use everybody to the best of their abilities.
Yeah, I like to say there's a difference between having bodies and having depth. Right now, what Missouri has as a defensive end is bodies. And maybe they're good. Maybe we'll see. Maybe all those kids can play and can play next year. But they don't have depth because Charles Harris is the only one who's shown anything on an SEC football field. And frankly, he's just shown a few flashes. So it's going to be really fascinating. I mean, Missouri has billed themselves D-line zoo and all this. And, you know, we crank out first-round draft picks on the defensive line. And, hey, Harold Brantley's there. We know that. A lot of people think good things are going to happen for Charles Harris. But defensive end this year has, I would say, less proven talent than they have had since, I don't know, before Alden Smith hit campus, don't you think?
Yeah, there was some talk amongst fans, message boards, Twitter, about moving Ricky Hatley back to defensive end. I don't know. I guess that's an option. It just seems like he's better suited to play tackle. He's not really a fast, quick twitch kind of guy like they like at defensive end that's going to come around the edge hard and things like that. He seemed to develop into a really good defensive tackle. He's steady at defensive end. He played a little bit there last year. Like you said, though, this is a situation they haven't been in quite a while.
Yeah, and I assume most people listening to this have heard. Again, Marcus Loud dismissed from the team on Wednesday. All we know, violation of team rules. And that is literally all we know. Nobody's really saying exactly what he did. We have been told it was not a legal situation. So, hey, that's fine. It's always been kind of my stance. You know, it's not our job to necessarily air kids' dirty laundry. So who knows exactly what happened with Marcus Loud, but I think certainly Gary Pinkel has a proven track record and has earned the right to decide who should and should not be on his football team. I think this also shows, again, not that Marcus Loud was necessarily a proven player, although he did have a very good spring. But I think this continues Gary Pinkel's mantra, and I actually think most college coaches are like this. You're not bigger than the program. I don't care what's at your position. You will follow my rules or you won't be here. And I think coaches deserve more credit than they get in that regard. All right, now, final guest today, Marcel Frazier, junior college defensive end who signed with Missouri back in February, will hit campus here coming up soon. Marcel, first of all, thanks for taking some time to join us. And I know you are on your way home from school right now. When do you plan to hit the road again and head to Missouri?
I should be leaving for Missouri June 4th. My flight leaves, I think, around noon from Portland, so you get there in Kansas City that night.
All right. I mean, you're coming in as an upperclassman, and so do you have your living situation worked out yet? Are you staying on campus? Do you have a roommate or anything?
Not officially yet. No, I know I've been in contact with Newsom. Donovan Newsom, I think his name is, the linebacker and the right tackle that transferred in from City College.
Okay,
but
yeah.
If anything, I might stay in the dorms. If anything, just at least for the summer, getting it figured out. But then when fall comes around, we'll figure it out.
All right, Marcel, want to ask you probably the toughest question pretty early here off the bat. Obviously, news hit yesterday that one of Missouri's starting defensive ends was let go from the team, and Marcus Loud. I'm curious, A, if you've heard that, and B, if you've heard from the coaches since that happened, and if there's now an accelerated timetable for you to come on campus and be ready to go day one.
Yes, I heard about that yesterday, but I feel like since they started recruiting me, they kind of put the emphasis on, we need you to come and produce now, because they already have lost, you know, Shane and Golden, that's already two huge losses. So even when they first started recruiting me back in, what, October or November, they told me straight up, like, we need you to come in. But I'm pretty sure it's gonna accelerate it a little bit more. But I was ready to compete with or without him. I mean, Marcus Golden and Shane Rabel could have both been there, and I'd be ready to compete. Personally, I'm that confident. But I just need to come in. Definitely need to come in now with Loud going, but I really feel like I already had enough pressure on myself, put on by myself, to just come in and produce.
Do you kind of come in with the mindset that it's your spot to lose now?
I don't want to go that far, but I feel like if I do everything right on and off the field, everything will play itself out. I mean, I don't really know what talent they have at the end, but I know what I can do. And I feel like if I, you know, just do the right stuff academically, stay out of trouble, and learn the playbook, I feel like I should be fine. Everything will work itself out. I mean, they wouldn't have they wouldn't have brought in a junior college guy if they didn't think that he could compete right away.
Talking with Marcel Frazier, defensive end out of junior college, going to be on campus here at Missouri in a couple weeks. And Marcel, I'm just curious, when you're going through the recruiting process and now that you're a part of this program, how much before Missouri started recruiting you and how much now do you know about the tradition of, you know, you mentioned Golden and Ray and then Sam and Ely, Alden Smith, and really going all the way back to Justin Smith, who just retired, the tradition at that position here at Missouri?
You know, I've kind of been watching them since they joined the SEC, and I didn't really know about the tradition, but just seeing them play, I just remember them always being four deep at the end. Like, I remember I was watching them the year they won the Cotton Bowl. They were, I think it was Shane, Marcus might have been hurt, but it was like Shane, Tony, and Michael Sam. They were all getting, you know, they were all producing, and then Shane had that big Cotton Bowl game. So I just remember watching them and just seeing, like, they had multiple players just always playing at the end. I was pretty impressed by that.
Coming, and what's going to be the skill set that you bring to the team this coming season? What are your strengths, and then maybe what are some things you're working on to improve a little bit?
Well, I'm naturally fast. Like, I was a track runner at a young age, and I kind of continued with track until high school until my body got a little bit too big to run any events. So I'm naturally fast. Like, that's just the quickness and explosiveness of my first step is just, I feel like that's just a natural thing I have. I mean, I'm 6'4" without shoes, so I have the size. My weight, I weigh like 260, but I can still be stronger pound for pound. I don't feel like I'm that strong pound for pound of my weight as I should be. So I probably need to get stronger dealing with, you know, SEC left tackles and SEC right tackles. I definitely need to get stronger, but I feel like my speed and athleticism is going to carry me at least for the beginning until my strength catches up.
What's the biggest difference that you think will occur going from the junior college level to playing in the SEC?
Way more scrutiny, like just way more focus on your behavior. Academics, of course, it'll probably be a little notch up academics, but I think I have the support at Missouri in place to help me through that. But I just know everything you do off the field, whatever you tweet, whatever you post on social media, I know there's just an eye. ESPN's watching it, all the writers always watching it. But as far as the play, I mean, of course, it's like the amateur league of the NFL. So, of course, the jump is going to be a pretty big jump. But I know they wouldn't have offered me a scholarship if they didn't think I could come out there and help them out.
Have you thought about that first time you step onto the field, you for either the first game or the first camp, and what it's going to be like to be a Mizzou Tiger?
Of course, yeah. I've had dreams about it and all that good stuff, but I'm just trying to take it a day at a time just so I don't overwhelm myself with expectations and things like that. I'm trying to just take it day by day, week by week, especially with finals just going by. You know, I'm just focused on how my grades come out of finals, improving my GPA, stuff like that. So I'm trying to take it day by day, but, yeah, of course, like, I have dreams. Sometimes I have, like, 3 days in a row just dreaming about Mizzou and all this stuff, playing in the games, going through camp, all that stuff.
Last thing for you, Marcel. About this time last year, I remember every time any of us asked Shane Ray or Marcus Golden a question about, you know, replacing Michael Sam and Coney Ely, they said, hey, we're not worried about that. We're going to go be Marcus and Shane and do our own thing. Do you come in here, you know, pattern your game after any of those guys that may have come before, or do you just kind of focus on yourself and not worry about those guys the last couple of years?
You know, of course I want to play at a level where there's no drop-off. Of course, and I watched all of them play, and they all were, like, relentless. You know, Sam and Golden weren't that athletic or that huge, but they were relentless, and Shane was crazy athletic, but he was also relentless. And if I could base my game off them, it would just be being as relentless as they are, because physically I feel like I'm just as fast as those guys. Probably not as strong yet, but hopefully I can get there. And height-wise, I'm just as big, if not bigger, than those guys. But I'm not too worried about filling their shoes. You know, it'll be great. They're expecting me to match the production. That's why they're bringing me in. And it'll be awesome if I can, but day-to-day I have to focus on myself in summer and getting stronger and all that good stuff.
All right, well, Marcel, I appreciate you taking some time. We will let you get some lunch, and I'm sure you're anxious to get home and spend some time with your family before you get to hit the road again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
All right, Marcel Frazier, Missouri defensive end, and obviously a little change of plans there. Didn't think we were going to be able to grab him. Ended up being able to talk to him. And Brian, strikes me, I appreciate the fact that the kid would not say yes, it's my job to lose. I think it's his job to lose.
Yeah, it does seem like that. I mean, we talked about before the guy Spencer Williams, Selman Williams, Walter Brady. So I mean, talented kids, but young kids. They haven't been through it. Marcel's been through it at the JUCO level. He's a guy with a little bit more age, a little bit more experience. I think you're right. I think they're going to count on him coming in and being ready to play opposite of Charles Harris from day one.
And like he said, they don't offer junior college kids if they don't think they can come in and do that. I mean, you don't offer a junior college kid to come in and be third string and learn for a year. If you do that, they generally don't tend to end up being guys that are program changing players, and that's what they're hoping for out of Marcel Frazier. So thanks to Marcel, to Corey Fatone, to Emmanuel Hall, to Kevin Puryear. And again, we got another one, maybe two podcasts before most of these kids hit campus. So hope to be able to grab a few more of them, introduce you guys to some of these guys that are going to be freshmen or juniors at Missouri, both in football and basketball. So spend the next couple weeks doing that, and we will be back on the podcast next week.